Oh no. I've been asked to share around the theme of transformation, and particularly from John's Gospel, and where it talks about light and darkness. And it's been great this morning to see how God has already, even last week, I said to Kirsten when we got home after Andy bravely stepped out and began to share some words of knowledge and began to lay a platform for the church to catch hold of something that the wind of the Holy Spirit's doing. And that I said, I'm a week too late, because I've got a sense in my spirit today that God wants to stir up the gifts. He wants to break in to people's hearts, lives, circumstances and situations where there has been a darkness, a veil of darkness over their lives, whether it be in healing, of physicalness or mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever area. I've got a real sense that today God wants to stir the gifts up to shine his light into circumstances, situations and events and change things around. So, those of you who are Spirit-filled, begin to stir the gifts of the Spirit if you've not already stirred them, because there's going to be an appeal and there is going to be response in Jesus' name today. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. You've got your Bibles, let's turn there and let's read that together. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was and is life." Is there any life out there today? "In him there was and is life. And his life is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." Hallelujah. Light and dark. They're antagonists. They're opposites, aren't they? Just like light and heavy. Open and closed. Short and tall. The thing is with light and dark, though, they might be opposite, but they are not of equal power. They are not of equal strength. They are not equal in the laws of physics and nature. Light is stronger. Wherever there is darkness and light comes, the darkness disappears. The darkness cannot stand. The darkness has to flee away. I said this morning when we came in here, I said to a couple of people, can we turn the lights off? And they went, we don't know where the light switches are. But without the lights on this morning, all right, we've got the natural light coming through the window, but we would be in a dark place. But as soon as we switch those lights on, you can see the chairs, you can see the pathway. You won't be stumbling, falling over things that are in the aisles that people have put there. And scripturally and spiritually, light is a metaphor for God's righteousness, God's goodness, God's holiness, God's purity. You know, as we look around the world today, we might think, by gum, there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of spiritual darkness. There's a lot of spiritual darkness that pulls things down, that destroys, that takes away people's hope, takes away people's desire for the future, just pulls things down, puts things away. And we say, oh God, if you are true, if you are the light of the world, if your light is stronger than the darkness, why is darkness prevailing? But I want to come this morning and say, it might seem dark out there, but the light of Jesus Christ pierces the darkness and is piercing the darkness and is changing the darkness. Physically, what does light do? In the natural realm, what does light do? Well, I just pulled a few things up. First of all, I thought, well, light warms. And I thought of reptiles, you know, how they bask in the sun. After the cold of the night is gone, they lie there in the sun, don't they, to get their body temperature warmed up so that as soon as they get warm, they can be active. They can do things. They can start to feed. They can start to hunt. They can start to live the life they've been intended to live. I thought, light, what else does it do? It measures. We talk of light years. The nearest star in our universe is so many light years away. We talk of things that are comparative to one another, don't we? Hugh mentioned the Brexit. We are light years apart in an agreement in Brexit, which is Europe, aren't we? It's a measurement term that we use. Light energizes. It stimulates growth in the springtime when the light starts to strengthen and the light becomes more and more long throughout the day. What happens? Flowers begin to burst forth. Trees begin to bud. Fruitfulness becomes into the world. We begin to see an energetic breaking forth of life and health and well-being. Light illuminates. It reveals. Without light, we cannot see colour. Without light, we cannot see the things around us. If we are in darkness, we might stumble and fall. We're in a country, aren't we, where actually we don't understand darkness. Because there is the ambient lights of the street, there is the lights of the houses, there's lights on cars. There's just so much light around us. Even in the midst of night, there is light around us. But, you know, I've had the privilege, and I'm sure I know some of you have too, of traveling to other parts of the world where they do not have the same. And when you go into the jungles of Africa and it is night, by gum, it is dark. You cannot see your hand like that sometimes. And by the way, it is true. When an African smiles in the dark, his teeth glow. Because they reflect the light of the moon. But also there's a darkness in that continent, like there's a darkness in our nation. And I remember being in Nigeria, where a rich man purchased electricity grid to be brought to his village for the first time. And there was a great party, but there was also a great reaction. In fact, there was a riot, and the man who paid for it was attempted to be killed by other people because they knew that the light, when it broke into the darkness, exposed the deeds they were doing that did not want to be exposed. But praise the Lord, the day after, or the same day actually, we went in there, we preached the gospel, and hundreds came into the light of Christ. Darkness might be strong, but the light overcomes it and prevails. Amen. And light works. It's a tool. Everyone's heard of a laser. What does it stand for? Light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. Correct, Rob? Rob's a physicist. You know, light, it works. It cuts through. If you've got a laser, it cuts through things. Cuts through steel. And all it is a concentrated beam of light. It cuts through circumstances. It cuts through things in front of it. It points the way. There's lights involved in lasers in many, many technologies in the world today. It works for us. It works to better us. But in the natural, what reactions are there to light? I find there are two. First of all, you can retract and recoil. You know, like a cockroach. If you've ever been into a situation, into a kitchen where there's been cockroaches, and I'm sure Dr. Phil's been there and he can vouch for this, you know, you turn the light on, you see them all scurrying around, don't you, to hide from the light. There's a reaction, there's a natural reaction to hide from the light. Or maybe there's the opposite, like a moth that's attracted to the light. In the physical, there are those two reactions. There is the reaction to hide and the reaction to be drawn to. But what does this all mean? How does this bring it home to us today in our lives, in our walk, in our circumstances with God? 1 John 1:5 says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." God is light. And in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light." God is light, so what does he do? He warms. When the light of God's presence comes into our lives, he warms us up spiritually. He takes that dead, cold, lifeless spirit, and as his light comes in, as his light begins to work, he warms us. He warms us, and we start to get active. We start to absorb his warmth, and we start to become active, and we start to do things for God. We start to do things for the kingdom. We start to be who he's called us to be, who he's created us to be. We start to feel the warmth of God's light within us. He measures. His light measures. It's the plumb line of the Word of God. How does our life measure up to his purity, his holiness, his beauty, his works, his character, the examples of the saints who have gone before? As God's light breaks in, he energizes us. He stimulates us to grow. We don't stay baby Christians. We should be growing in Christ into maturity. And as we allow the light of God to come deeper and more expressive into our hearts and into our lives, we can't help but grow into maturity. He illuminates, he reveals. His light comes in and reveals hidden things to us through the word of prophecy, through the word of encouragement, through the words of wisdom, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us things that we don't know. He shows us things that we don't understand. He gives us understanding to move things forward into a new dimension, into a new vista, into a new plane where he wants us to be. He also exposes the immorality, the motives of our hearts and our thoughts. It's not to shame us, it's not to make us feel small, but it's to actually lead us through into a better place so we can get rid of those things. His light's also a tool. It works in our life. It fashions us, it shapes us, it transforms us into his likeness, into his character, into who we were designed to be in God. And what reactions can we have to God and his light? The same too. We can react and we can retract and we can recoil and we can hide. And I think some of you this morning are hiding in God. God's spotlight is coming and putting its light onto some things in people's lives. And we're going, oh, not me. I hope God doesn't do it to me. We hide, we run away, we say, God, don't you dare shine your light into that area. Don't you dare expose me in that area. Don't you dare transform that area because I'm happy in the darkness. I'm happy hiding away. God says, no, I want to shine my lights into that area for a reason. It's not to bring you down, but it's to raise you up. It's not to leave you captive, it's to set you free. Stop hiding from the light of God. Stop hiding. Or we can be drawn to him, can't we? We can be drawn to God as we see him, as we see his works, as we spend time in his presence, as we begin to get to know him. We can be drawn to him. We can come into his presence and we can just delight and bask and, oh God, more of you. Those are the two reactions, the spiritual and the physical. God's light. Psalm 119, verse 30, that says, the entrance of your words give light. The Proverbs 6:23, for your commands are light to me. Without light, life becomes dull. We lose vision. We live in the darkness. It becomes meaningless. It's filled with despair. Darkness invades. Today, people of God, let his light invade your life in a new way, in a deeper way, in a greater way, in a more dynamic way, in a more passionate, fulfilling, expressive way. God's spotlight is on us. You know, I love watching Saturday Night Takeaway. Anybody else a fan of Saturday Night Takeaway? There's a section in there where it's called The Fickle Finger of Fate. And this big hand goes running all over the audience and everyone's going, oh, pick me, because they know that when they get picked, they get on stage and they win hundreds of thousands of pounds of prizes. Today, I want to say that we haven't got the fickle finger of fate warning over the congregation, but we have got the luminous light of the Lord. His spotlight, and I brought my little torch here. I was hoping it would be a bit darker so I could put my little spotlight on and I could just go like that and sort of spotlight a few people. and you know, the luminous light of the Lord going round and, you know, touching people's hearts and touching people's lives. And, oh, look, it's kind of just about getting past row three. And today, I really believe that the spotlight of the Lord is coming across the congregation. And those who are willing, those who say, yeah, I'm tired of living in the darkness. I'm tired of living half-heartedly. I'm tired of being held back. I'm tired. Lord, let your spotlight fall on me. The spotlight of God is willing to stop on you and to break in to your circumstance, into your situation, into whatever circumstance and things you find yourself in at this moment in time. God's spotlight is on our lives. John 1:5, we read it earlier on, and it says this, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. For all you scholars out there, that word comprehend in Greek is katalanbono. And there are three root meanings to that word. It says this, first of all, that word comprehend, it means to seize, to lay hold of, to overcome. So what does that mean to us? It means the darkness does not gain control of the light. No matter how hard the darkness might close in around you, no matter how hard your circumstances press in around you, it cannot, it does not, it is unable to gain control of the light that you allow to shine in your life. You can allow the darkness control, but if you do not allow the darkness control and you say, no, in Christ, the light of God is in me, then the darkness cannot control you. You cannot, it cannot, it cannot, it cannot, it cannot. It is not up for debate. It is not up for discussion. It cannot lay hold or lay seize of it. Secondly, katalambano means to perceive, to attain, to lay hold of with the mind, to apprehend and understand with a mental or mortal effort. So what does that mean to us today? It means the darkness is unreceptive and cannot understand the light. Calvary. Satan thought he had won a victory. The darkness thought it had captured Jesus, boxed him in, put him in the grave, and there was a party in hell. That Jesus, this all-conquering, mighty Savior, where is he now? He's in the grave. He's dead. He's buried. He's gone. But darkness did not understand the light. The light said, no, this is not but the end. This is but the beginning of the end of the rule and reign of darkness. And 3 days later, Jesus burst forth from the grave. His light came back into this world, and he rose from the dead. I was watching a program recently on the Shroud of Turin. There's a lot of debate, and I'm still not sure whether it's a real artifact or not. But this scientist was basically saying the latest theory on how the picture got on the shroud is this, that for some unexplained, unknown reason that's never happened before, the only way that image could get on that shroud was for a massive electricity discharge of light to come from within the body that burst through the cotton and sealed that picture on the linen. And the scientist, who's not a Christian, said, was asked, does this mean Jesus was resurrected from the dead? And he said, I cannot explain it, but yes, that can be a possibility. Jesus burst forth from the grave. Darkness could not understand God's plan. Darkness did not understand the plan of light, and he broke through. The third meaning to katalanbano means to quench, to extinguish, to snuff out the light by stifling it. What does that mean to us? It means that the darkness will never be able to extinguish it. Never. No matter how powerful the darkness might think it is, it can never extinguish the light. As soon as the light comes on, darkness flees, darkness vanishes, darkness goes. God wants to shine his light, his righteousness, his goodness, his purity, his wholeness into your circumstances, your situations, your life. What does that mean on a practical level? Pain and suffering. If you're here and you're suffering from pain and suffering, whether that be physical, mental, emotional, then God wants to shine his light into your life and bring you freedom. He wants to break the chains of darkness. He wants to break those chains that are holding you down, that are restricting you, that are stopping you from being the creative, fulfilled person that God is intending you to be. Unrelenting problems. If you seem to have problem after problem after problem after problem after problem, and they're weighing you down, they're shackling you, they're stopping you from being your full potential, God wants to bring his shalom, his peace. It doesn't matter. We heard it earlier on. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. God's saying, if you come to me and let my light come into that situation, then I will break those chains. I will break that situation open. I will break that cycle of unrelenting problems, and you will move on into a new day, into a new dawn, into a new vista, into a new grace, into a new area of success in your life. Maybe it's disappointment. You know what, I've lived with disappointment for a long time. Disappointment in many areas. But do you know what? I've got a new favourite song, and it's the one we've just sung. You know, God's never failed me yet, and God wants to break out. And he's bringing me into a place of joy, and he'll bring you into a place of joy. You might be disappointed with what's happened. You might be disappointed with the path that your life's turned out. You might have been disappointed with others. You might have been disappointed in things that have happened. But you know what? It doesn't matter. God wants to break you away from that disappointment and take you into a place of joy, into a place of laughter, into a place that you can just chuckle to yourself and everyone will go, what on earth's going on? And you just go, do you know what? I am happy. I am joyful. I know the joy of the Lord, for he is my strength. Sickness and illness. You might be suffering with sickness and illness today. Do you know what? The light of Christ wants to break in and bring healing, wholeness. God's not intention to leave you alone. And sickness and wholeness might mean two different things. It might mean a physical repairing of your body here on earth, or it might mean that, you know, he'll give you the grace to handle what you've got, but one day he will take you into glory where you will have a brand new body and a brand new circumstances. It can be either way, but either way, you'll be whole and healed in Jesus' name. His light wants to shine into sickness. Maybe you're in a hopeless situation. See no way out. See no way forward. You think you're going round. Oh, this is hopeless, God. This is hopeless. This is hopeless. This is hopeless. Start to let the light of Christ shine in. And light starts to see the hope of God. He has a hope for you. He has a future for you. He has a good plan. He wants to prosper you and lift you up and take you on, take you forward. He wants to not leave you hopeless. He wants to leave you hopeful. Maybe you've got constant setbacks. Constantly set back. God's light wants to bring you progression and uplift you. Maybe it's death to life. Maybe there's been death, death of your hopes, death of your dreams, physical death. But God wants to bring life. Just like he brought life back into the tomb of Jesus all those years ago, and he raised him from the dead. God wants to bring life back into your circumstances, into your very being, your innermost soul today. You can pick those keys up of how you do these things in group. But there's a joy in knowing that the light's not only greater than the darkness, but the darkness will never outlast the light. I just want to begin to wrap things up by reading my little book. It says Darkness, the Unwelcome Visitor. It's a Scripture Union book. And I'll have to put my glasses on for this bit. It says this. There is an unwelcome visitor no one likes to have. He comes uninvited to our bedroom and sneaks into our deepest, darkest dreams at night. He is known by the name of darkness, and when he comes, he swallows up all your courage in one gigantic gulp. He can even visit us in the middle of the day, and no matter how hard we try to make him go away, we soon come to realize that darkness is no momentary visitor, no way. When darkness comes, he sticks to you with some kind of special evil super glue. And if being stuck in the dark isn't bad enough, darkness then invites his two friends, fear and despair. Oh, the terrible things that happen when this trio come together. They have stolen the strength of kings and queens and made entire armies tremble. What are we to do? Who can we ask for if even the strongest of men and women have been defeated by darkness, fear, and despair? Well, my friend, let me tell you something this dark enemy doesn't want you to know. Darkness and his friends are not invincible. There is someone who is bigger, stronger, and a gazillion times more powerful than darkness. His voice is like thunder, and his armor is made of pure light. In fact, he is the very source of all light, and he rules over it. He is the great, the only, the almighty Jesus. Jesus has been visited by darkness, fear, and despair. He knows what it's like to have darkness raise its claws and has felt the gloomy shadow of despair. But fear has never been able to swallow his courage. Even in the midst of the fiercest battle, he doesn't panic. He is always victorious. Why? Because Jesus is light, and only he who is light can overcome the darkness. And do you know what the best bit of news is? If you ask him for his help, he'll come near to you. The Almighty Jesus will make your battle his own. And he will come to the darkness and say, "I command you to be gone," and darkness will leave. He will replace your courage that has swallowed you up and give you his strength, his hope, his joy. You will no longer be alone, but he will fight for you. Fear's hold on you will disappear, and the evil glue that holds it to you will lose its power, and darkness will run in the light of his presence. Despair will be cast down, for Jesus is the King of Lights. He will chase them away for you. He will hunt them down till not one of your opponents is left. You will come out the other side, victorious, taller, and stronger, with a brand new friend. And all because of Almighty Jesus, the destroyer of darkness, fear, and despair. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior. The darkness does not understand him. The darkness cannot overcome him. The darkness cannot hold him down. The darkness cannot contain him. Why do we allow darkness to triumph in our lives? The Bible says that when we allow Jesus in, he comes in with all his authority, all his power, all his light, all his enabling. But yes, we are but human. But that's why God is gracious to us. And he says, "I want to shine my light today onto certain areas. I want to shine my spotlight on those areas of darkness that have held my people down in captivity, because I want to see them set free. I want to see them move into a new dynamic vista of freedom and of victory." Can I ask the, he's through there now, look, I've seen him with his baby. The rest of the musicians, here he comes, look. Can I ask the rest of the musicians to come and join me? Can we stand, please? This authority, this light of Jesus is relevant for the past, the present, and the future. There are things in our past that darkness wants to keep hidden in the past. Today, God wants to expose some of those dark things in the past and say, they've weighed you down, they've held you back for far too long. I want to expose some of those things and I want to bring light into them. Some of you have got darkness in your present. You can't see the way forward. The darkness seems like a mountain in front of you, or it's like so dark that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. You're just thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know where I am. Do you know what? Today God says, I want to shine my light into your present. I want to illuminate the situation that's before you, and I want to transform it and change it. And hope for the future. Dark days will come. Jesus himself promised us that. He said, you know, in the future, it's not all going to be easy. It's not always going to be simple. But fear not, I've overcome the world. Fear not, whatever life brings in the future, I can deal with it. Because I am the King of Light for the past, the present, and the future. Today you might be suffering with pain, unrelenting problems, disappointment, sickness, illness, hopelessness, setbacks, death in some way or other. Today, let us have the honor and the privilege of standing with you and shining the light of Jesus into your circumstance and your situation. The front's going to be open. The prayer team are on standby. If anyone has any words of knowledge, things that they feel the Spirit has been stirring, then please bring them and we'll release them. So I was praying for today. I felt that there's a couple of things that I felt God wants to do. I've said to you before, you know, I've got a passion and a heart to see people healed, restored. And somebody said to me once about seeing the dead raised to life. And I said, do you know what? That's a scary thought, but yeah, I'm up for that. But today I felt that over this last week when I've been thinking and preparing, particularly my left hand, these three knuckles here, there's been a real stiffness, there's really been a real swelling, there's been a real discomfort, so much so that sometimes when I've just moved my fingers, well, the whole joints have all clicked and gone out of alignment and I've had to click them back in. And I sense that something on the left hand and joints in the left hand, God wants to touch, God wants to heal and restore and bring a wholeness back into that and mobility. This morning, as I was lying in bed in the early hours, I felt that God also, I got some muscle spasms. That's unusual for me. And I just feel God wants to say that, you know, someone here has got some muscle spasms that's debilitating them. It's causing them discomfort at times. It stops them from doing stuff. Well, today, I want to say God wants to shine his light into that. And he wants to stop those spasms. And he wants to bring strength back where weakness has been. God wants to shine his light into your circumstance because people, he loves you. Friends, he loves you. He doesn't want to do it to bring you down, to make you small, disparaging, but he wants to raise you up. Today, let his light shine. Let his light shine.